ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music and more.
This is Roots and Shoots, ABC Radio Perth's gardening podcast with new episodes twice a week. I'm Michael Tetlow. It's the gardening show for green thumbs and aspiring horticulturalists alike, and the wonderful Sabrina Hahn is here to answer all of your curly questions. All right, Sabrina, Brett, on the subject of cheap, wants to know what is the best way to reuse and rejuvenate potting mix, and how many times can this be done before it's munted?
Before it's munted. Brett, heaps of times. Okay, so it's just that you, each time you do it, you have to add a little bit more of the goody stuff that you're putting in. So your potting mix, basically, it's been designed for root growth. So there's big air pockets, got lots of sand and basically pine bark. So what happens is all that starts breaking down and you're left with gutless sand and a bit of pine bark. So what you do is you go and get a bag of compost and some poo, whether it's chicken, horse, cow, elephant, sheep, whatever. Whatever you're going to grow in it. So you're going to have two-thirds of the old potting mix and then one-third that combination of compost. And get good compost. Like, don't get cheap. Don't get soil conditioner. That's a very different thing to mature compost. Get mature compost. Then you will have to add granular wetting agent and you'll have to add slow-release fertilizer. But you can reuse your old potting mix.
Yeah. Good. There we go. Let's go to the phones, Sab. Helena's in Dunsborough. Hello, Helena.
Oh, hello.
G'day.
Very windy down here today.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Have you had any rain?
No, dry.
Tomorrow, Helena.
We're hoping. We've got our fingers crossed. Sabrina, two questions.
Yes.
I'm getting molds, little molds of dirt, size of probably 50 cents.
Yep.
I'm sprinkling them with granules and then watering it in.
Yeah.
But I've gone through three packets and they're still coming up, you know.
So do you think it's ants, Helena?
No, not ants.
Okay.
When I actually stand there and water it in, there's quite a hole that goes quite deep.
Okay. So that's either going to be mole cricket. In fact, it probably is mole crickets because at the end, so mole crickets will breed all through summer, and they're the things that sound like they're frogs at night. They only make their noise at night.
Okay.
So they're mole crickets, and whatever you're using is not going to kill them anyway.
Oh, then I've done $50.
Right. It's very difficult to but mole crickets, they're attracted to water if there's a light in it. So they'll come there at night and then they drown. But now that – so as soon as we get the first rains and the weather, if it ever cools down – the mole crickets go very deep into the soil and then you won't see them till next summer.
Oh, okay. Okay, second question. This has been on social media. I'm not sure if you know anything about it, but over in Sydney and Melbourne, they've found asbestos in some of the mulch and it's causing cancer in teenagers. Can you tell me, is it a specific mulch? You know, do we have anything to worry about, you know, us gardeners?
Okay, so what happens, Helena, when, so, you know, because everything is recycled now. So when buildings and houses are demolished, sometimes, particularly in big commercial places, they recycle the cement and all sorts of other things. And then some of the soil goes to be reclaimed and recycled. So sometimes you can get asbestos that's been on a big commercial building site where they're reclaiming the soil and rejuvenating it. Sometimes you get asbestos fibres in that and you can't actually see them. So now we have much stricter regulations on any building that is being demolished, and also what happens if there's any asbestos in a building, the soil has to be tested. Mm. So they come around and they take plugs, big plugs of soil, and they actually investigate exactly what is in that soil, whether it's asbestos, whether it's oil, whether there's substances in there that can be harmful to people further on down the line.
Mm.
So I haven't heard of that happening here, Helena, but I know there are very strict regulations on any site that has asbestos, which is why you will see sometimes on building sites it's a no-go zone. They're not allowed to build on it. They're not allowed to take soil from it. It's contaminated. So,
all right, Helena, thank you for your call. Appreciate that. Jane is in Dianella. Hello, Jane.
Hi there.
Hello, Jane.
Sabrina, you amaze me. Your knowledge is unlimited. Oh. You're awesome.
Oh, thank you, Jane. It is actually quite limited, but I keep learning as I go.
Awesome. Help me. I'm about to pull out my roses because of the chili trip.
Yeah.
I really tried and tried, and it's just back to square one every time.
Mm. I'm wondering if rose breeders might breed some chili thrip resistant roses one day.
Mm.
Well, I hope they do. So, Jane, have you tried the every fortnight the three different sprays? And that hasn't worked.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it hasn't worked. Got rid of it for a little while and then it's all come back.
The big problem is, Jane, is we're not getting any cold weather. Like, it's still warm. Yeah. And tomorrow it's going to be what? Yeah. 27 or
27.
Something.
27. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I say no.
You say no. Right. Okay. Good.
Anyway, I thought persevere. Yeah.
Yeah, I think what's happening, Jane, is they're just not stopping breeding.
Right.
They're just
right.
Sex driven. They're dirty little beasts. So they're not going into overwintering. They're just going, oh no, we'll have another shag, pop out another 100.
Those chili thrip floozies, a lot of them.
If I pull them out, I'd like it's a west facing area bed, and I'd like to put something in that's really pretty and flowers, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you know, there's new hibiscus that have come out. Most of them are single flowered, but they flower nearly all year round. And you can get huge variety of them, and you get all those beautiful, you know, you can get from the pale pastel colours right through the blow your eyeballs out orange and red ones.
Jane, thanks so much for calling in. 1-300-222-720 is the number. Let's go to Mandurah. Michael's there, and Michael, you got a problem with some worms.
Yeah, hi, folks. Actually, Sabrina, I think I've got the same problem as that other lady. My lawn has got, I thought they were worm castings that are coming to the surface, little black mounds.
Yeah.
And there's countless hundreds of them, and when you walk on the lawn, it's like having little lumps everywhere, you know?
But that could actually be worms. She had big holes.
No, these aren't holes. They're just granulated mounds.
Yeah.
And if you water them, they just disappear completely.
I reckon that's worms.
I thought it was too, but I don't know how to get rid of them. Actually, the lawn is becoming just completely infested with them, and it's really weird to walk on because you've got all these little lumps under your feet.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to get rid of the damn things.
Well, I tell you what, we'll get rid of them, Michael, is wetting agent.
Yeah?
So if you put wetting agent down now and we get sort of at least 5 mil, it's not much to ask for, all those worms are going to go much deeper down.
Right.
See, there's a difference between earthworms and composting worms. So it's probably earthworms, not the little red wrigglers. So,
yeah, I think they are worth, because occasionally you'll see the birds trying to dig in there and pull them out.
Yeah. So it'll be earthworms, Michael. Now, as soon as we get rain, they're going to go deeper down into the soil profile. Or the other thing they do is they climb up your wall, dehydrate and die.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't know why they climb up walls.
No, well, these ones aren't. They're just...
They're in the ground.
And then they're making an incredible mess.
Mess, yeah. So get yourself some wetting agent, Michael, and put that all over the lawn.
Yep, okay, that sounds like a plan. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael.
Good on you, Michael. Thanks so much for calling. William's in Geraldton, and William's been trying to plant some carrots, haven't you, William?
Been trying, but none of them will come up.
Ah, William. Now, what are you growing them in? Are you growing them in a container or in the ground?
I've got a brand new flower bed, garden bed.
Yep.
It's got all compost and proper soil and everything in it.
Yep.
I plant the carrots about 5 to 10 mil deep.
Yep.
And not one comes up. And I water them morning and afternoon.
Too much water. Too much water. And they're rotting before they germinate. Now, what I want you to do, William, is I want you to go and buy either some perlite or vermiculite. It's easier to find perlite than vermiculite. So when you do your rill, where you sow the seed of the carrots, so first of all, dig the trench for the rill. Then I want you to put just... half a centimetre of perlite or vermiculite. Then in a bucket, you're going to put all your seed in a cup or a bowl and you're going to go two, so what, however much seed you want, you've got twice the amount of perlite to mix in with the soil, with the seed rather. So you've got perlite and carrot seed in a bowl. Then you've got a rill with... perlite or vermiculite in the bottom of the trench of the rill. Then you're going to sprinkle all the way along the rill. Then you're going to water it and you're not going to cover it with anything else. No soil on top.
Yep.
Just the seed that's mixed in with the perlite or vermiculite. You're going to water it once a day until you see the first cotyledons, which are the first leaf stalk.
Yep.
I think you're overwatering.
And just once a day after that?
Yep, yep.
Sounds good to me. Thank you very much.
All right, give that a crack and let us know how you go, William.
Good on you, William and Geraldton. Thanks so much for ringing in. Let's go to Damo. Damo's in Dawesville. Damo, is it raining yet at your place?
No, it's not raining
nothing?
At all.
No.
500 metres away, apparently it's raining, but not here.
Oh, it's on its way. It's on its way, Damo.
Yeah, let's hope.
Yeah, now tell us about your fig tree, Damo.
Well, it's got, which looks like giant mealybugs completely covered on the leaves and on the branches.
Okay, so that's scale. When you squish it with your fingers, is it orange or red?
I'll tell you.
You pop them, you just go...
Yeah, they seem to be all dried up at the moment. They're
that's a good sign.
Okay.
If they're dried up, they're dead.
Okay.
I want you to do that anyway. It's a fig tree. It'll come back.
Yeah, I cut it back about a year ago, and now it's huge again. So.
Yeah, I know. You have to keep on to it. So prune it back in winter, and then if they're dead... they'll be dry. You won't get any of that beautiful orange or red guzzy stuff on your fingers because that's all.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. No, it's all the babies. You're crushing the babies.
Oh, now I feel bad.
Oh, no, don't.
No,
poor old Tets here has just gone. That's a bit harsh.
Oh, poor baby.
Well, you know, you don't want the next generation.
No, you don't.
So prune it. Then, is it a really big tree, Damo? How big is it?
It's quite big. It's probably 8 metres tall.
Oh, land sakes.
Wide.
Okay. So
huge.
Prune it. Then you spray it with the oil-based spray 2 weeks apart, high-pressure hose in between those 2 weeks.
Okay.
And that'll blow the little suckers off.
Okay. But prune it like right back to the main stem.
Yep, I would. I do that with mine every year.
Okay. I'll get onto that.
Yep.
Good on you, Damo. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate that. And appreciated your text messages about the lack of rain down there today. Let's head to Mount Pleasant. Rhonda. And Rhonda's got another question about the dreaded chili trip. Rhonda, hello.
Hello, you two.
Hello.
I've got some observations I wondered if I could make.
Oh, please do.
Thank you, my dear. I've been wandering around the streets looking at people who have successful roses and then people like me.
Yeah.
And what I've discovered is those with successful roses often have older roses, but they also often have ones that have no mulch underneath them, no compost, nothing.
Okay.
They have bare soil.
Right.
And those ones seem to flower as they always did.
Yep.
The other observation I'd make is that I've got some climbing roses and I put the tips when they were growing into water just to briefly to drown the little suckers.
That
seems to work for 3 and 4 days at a time.
Okay.
And I've had some lovely new growth because I've been able to drown the little suckers.
Yeah. Well, that's a very, very good.
Is water an option?
Yeah, well, definitely. Now, you were saying that the roses with nothing underneath. Now, the reason that works is chili thrips, when they lay eggs, they can drop to the ground.
Mm.
So then you get the next generation coming from the ground up. So if you've got mulch, it's a safe little place for them to hide because they're safe from other predators. And then they, of course, fly and climb up the rose bush. The thing about water is it's the same with anything apart from marine life, that if you soak it in water, they drown. And that's the reason that works. And if you can get the thrips before the next generation, you know, that's why they say with chili thrip, don't leave the leaves on the ground. You've got to rake up the leaves all the time because that disrupts the next generation coming up from eggs. So that's why both of those work, Rhonda. So it's, I love that you rang because we forget as gardeners that what we need to do more than anything is observe and then go, why does that work? It's like the lady that rang in and said, if you want to get rid of oxalis, you spray it with the mosquito repellent.
Yeah.
Now, why that works, I do not know, but I'm going to try it.
Give it a go.
Well, I'm wondering if it's the actual propellant in the spray can that.
I wonder.
And I don't know if it kills them dead, like proper dead.
Right.
Like seriously not coming back dead.
Yeah, all right.
But well done, Rhonda.
Thanks, Rhonda. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
See you, Rhonda. Let's go now to Australind. Richard, he's got some frangipanis. Hello, Richard.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah, good.
Frangipani tree is having some trouble with.
Yeah.
I've just planted them. Don't know much about gardening, but I just put potting mix in with them, and they're just in yellow sand.
Yes.
And they're living, but just...
Not
got
thriving.
Possibly leaves sort of going yellow and dropping off. But I've got new ones growing as well, like new leaves.
Yep.
So
Richard, you've done minimum effort, and that's what happens, mate.
Tough love from Sabrina.
Okay, look, frangipanis, the Hawaiian frangipanis, come from beautiful volcanic soil. And Australind most definitely doesn't have that. If they're not thriving, I would dig them up and I'd put them in a pot with potting mix.
Yeah.
They hardly have any root system, Richard. So they have to try and manage to get as much as they can out of a very small root system. And because they're in gutless sand, there's just, nothing. It's
Can I dig around them and put good soil around them or not?
Well,
really?
I would dig them up, put them in a pot with potting mix.
Okay.
Because the reason I say that, Richard, is because they've got hardly any root system.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And if you do that now and then you plant them out at the end of spring or next summer and plant them out with some compost and cow poo.
Yep, right, yeah.
Yep. Okie doke.
All right, I'll give that a go.
Okay, thanks, Richard.
All right, Richard, thanks for calling in. Can you just chuck on a lot of fertiliser, Sabrina?
Nope.
No, doesn't work.
No, because unless a plant has a healthy root system, it can't uptake the fertiliser anyway.
Yeah.
And the other thing is it depends on the pH of the soil whether the fertiliser works anyway.
Yeah, okay.
It depends on the biology of the soil.
Mm.
So there's no, you can't get around things just doing it bloody half dead.
Yeah, which is one of my problems, Sabrina. Look, before we say goodbye for another week,
yes.
Mark's phoned in to ask this question. He says we can inject avocado trees to make them dieback resistant. Can you do the same with old jarrah trees?
Yes, you certainly can, and that's what they do. They have they have a solution which is Fosject or Fos acid, and you inject the tree as well as spray it, and that's what they use for Banksias as well. You can, and you have to inject your avocados. I definitely would do that because they're highly susceptible to dieback.
Mm. All right. Sabrina, thank you for coming in.
Thanks for listening.
You can join us live on Tuesdays from 2:30 p.m.
Head to abc.net.au/Perth or listen to ABC Perth on DAB or 720 AM.
Text your questions in on 0437 922 720.
Or better still, call us in the studio, 1300 222 720. Roots and Shoots will be back on the weekend to answer more of your gardening questions. Don't forget to give us a 5-star rating on your favourite podcast player.
And share the episode with all your friends.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.